ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Look at verse 10 here. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. False teachers are proud. They're arrogant. They despise authority. We're afraid to say anything against anyone, even though what they say goes against God's word. I'll give you a case in point. Some of you are familiar with this guy. You haven't heard much about him lately. But Benny Hinn has made so many predictions that haven't come to pass. See, it's a false prophet. People say, well, you know, a prophet today has to work into that position. Believe me. If that were true in the Old Testament, then how do we know what to believe in the Scriptures? No, if what they said didn't come to pass, they were to be put to death in the Old Testament. That was pretty serious. God didn't want anyone just going around saying, thus saith the Lord. But this is what he said. You wonderful people of God, quit attacking men of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. I don't mind if they attack Benny and the way he is and the way he walks, but don't attack this man of God, Paul Crouch. There's a group here in California that thinks they are the judgment seat of Christ. They judge everything you do. Listen here, fella. Let me tell you something. You're not my judge. Jesus is my judge. You walk around with your stiff lip and collar on your neck. Dear God in heaven, I wish I could just wish, oh, they call it a ministry, my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that says, if you don't like them, kill them. I really wish I could find it, but there's nowhere in the Bible where it says it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'd blow your head off. Now, is that really what a man of God is supposed to be saying? First of all, if people are coming against you and you're teaching the Word of God, that's their problem then. That's kind of the way I feel. I don't go around trying to, you know, justify to everyone if I'm teaching the truth. If you're teaching something false, then it needs to be exposed. You don't cover it up, or you don't say you want to blow off their head because they're coming against you. That's ridiculous. And TBN's Praise the Lord program, he prophesied from God that if your loved one dies, instead of taking them to the mortician, the funeral home, prop them up in front of the television and turn on TBN and God will raise them from the dead. Please don't do that. But no one holds them accountable. This is the problem. And they send him money. And way back in 1989, he prophesied to his congregation at the Orlando Christian Center in Florida that he was seeing for the decade of the 1990s. The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s. Again, the Lord is doing this, okay? About 94 or 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America. He will destroy it with fire. Did it happen? No. No one holds him accountable. The Spirit of God tells me an earthquake will hit the east coast of America and destroy much in the 90s. Did it happen? No. But the Spirit of God told him. Not the Spirit of God. Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Holy Spirit just said to me, it'll be worse than any death you can imagine. And in regards to money, and this is kind of the bottom line always, now some of you will have to step out in faith tonight. Oh, no. Understand what this is. You may not even have the money right now. In fact, most times you may make a pledge, you don't even have it. Wow. So make it anyway. Go to the bank, take out some money. And those that are questioning him, you know, you don't get under this kind of anointing I get under just because you sing hallelujah. There's a heavy price, and I would not want to be in the shoes of the one who touches the anointing. Don't touch the anointing. You know what? Read the scriptures. These guys, these epistles over and over are coming against false teachers. Why? Because they're false teachers. It's a warning. David, when he said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed, wasn't talking about coming against King Saul for all the bad things he was doing, because he did. He said he wasn't going to kill him. But he's taking that out of context, saying, don't say anything against me. No, sorry, you're teaching falsely. I'm giving you a prophetic word. You know the scripture says that they prosper because they obeyed his prophets. I'm telling you tonight, I'm speaking prophetically, obey the Lord. We're going to pass the bucket around. Let's fill it up. Really? By covetousness, Peter said, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Let's wake up as Christians, guys. Let's pay attention, because many are following their destructive ways. And then the spiritual warfare. You know, Jude tells us in Jude 9 and 10, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. You know, come on. Why do you really think you could do battle with the devil or his angels? We can't, unless we come to God. Lord, you know what's going on. Please protect my family, protect me. But too many times Christians want to have conversations with the devil. I'll tell you, you're not smart enough. Don't fall prey to that. He'll eat you alive. And if you don't believe me, go read the story of Eve in the garden. She thought she was smart enough to talk to the devil, and look at what happened. Our victory is in Jesus. I'll let him deal with Satan. I'm going to submit to God. And as I submit to God, I'm resisting the devil, his influence over my life. I love the story of the Jewish exorcist in Acts 19. They thought that they were pretty good. And they took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. This is what they said. We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. There were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That would be a great movie, wouldn't it? We're not to bring reviling accusations, scorn them, let God deal with them. I think that's probably the best thing to do. Well, look at verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. Well, let me stop there. Barclay sums it up like this. He says, what these evil men who were troubling Peter's people were doing was to say that they loved and served Christ while the things they taught and did were a complete denial of him. Exactly. What's the difference between the saved and the unsaved person? Well, Peter says, one's controlled by the Spirit of God, guided by him. The unsaved person, it's the lust of the flesh. And they're like animals, controlled by the flesh, controlled by their lustful desires, and not by the Spirit of God. And they're not going to escape. He goes on here in verse 13, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime, they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. So Peter's not holding back, is he? He's just listing these sins that are just self-gratification sins here. And Peter says, you guys are a stain, a flaw. You pretend to be workers of Christ, but in reality, you're not. You attend love feasts, pretend to be one of the brethren, and deceive them. Their sensual lusts are out of control as they look at women with the idea of committing adultery with them. You know, Ravi Zacharias passed away a little while back, but now all his adulterous, all his sexual activity is coming to the forefront now as people are coming out and talking about the things that he was doing. And they're trying to deal with all this stuff. We need to be careful, even as us as Christians. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy our witness. And I don't care how big you are or how small you are, he wants to destroy your witness, and he'll do it any way he can. And sexual sin is a big way to destroy it. Peter says they've forsaken the right way, which is just a metaphor speaking of obeying God. You know, if you love the Lord, you're going to obey him. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Let's face it, none of us are. But our heart's desire is to serve him, to obey him, not just empty words. And Peter's example here is that of Balaam, which is kind of interesting. I don't think Balaam was Jewish. He was this prophet who knew about God, but his whole motivation was financial gain. So when Balak, the king of Moab, saw the armies of Israel and how they were defeating everyone in their path, he hires Balaam to pronounce a curse upon the Jews. And at first God said to Balaam, don't go. Don't go and do that. But he pesters God, and God finally says, okay, go. And on the way, Balaam's donkey stops, and he wouldn't go any further. Kind of crushed his leg against the wall. He was pretty mad at that donkey. His donkey stopped because there was an angel there standing with a sword in his hand. And the donkey talks to Balaam. I don't know. Didn't seem to surprise him. And when he sees this angel of the Lord, wow. And the angel of the Lord, which could have been the Lord himself, I think, said, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. And Balaam went with the princes of Balak. I don't think he should have gone at all. That's what God said in the first place. And so instead of pronouncing a curse, he's pronouncing a blessing. And Balak sets up four places for him to look down upon the camp of Israel and bring a curse, and each time it's a blessing. But Balaam wanted to be paid. So what did he do? He said, you know what? I can't curse these people. But you know what? You can get God to curse them by having them get together with your women. Have them dress up, you know, in the little short skirts with a lot of makeup, and just have them go and be around your men, and they'll marry them, they'll follow their ways, they'll seduce them. And it worked beautifully. But then in Numbers 31:8, we're told they killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian, Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. So the profit he made was short-lived. And he has an eternity to think about that. In other words, with the false teachers, they can make all the money they want in this life. They can have all the fun they want in this life. But in the end comes the judgment of God. Look at verse 17. They are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest to whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. In other words, the things that they are teaching are empty. There's nothing. There's no refreshment at all. There's no nourishment. They speak great swelling words of emptiness. Words or phrases that have no meaning at all. So sad. I'll give you an example. This is from Leonard Sweet, emerging church author, speaker, really a new ager, dressed in sheep's clothing. And this is what he said. Listen carefully. Just pay attention. These are some amazing words. The first of these five untheorized observations is that new light embodiment means to be in connection and in formation with other Christians. Deeper feeling and higher relating go together. The church is fundamentally one being, one person, a communion whose cells are connected to one another within the information network called the Christ consciousness. New lights offer up themselves as the cosmons of a mind of Christ consciousness. As a cosmon incarnating the cells of a new body, new lights will function as a transitional vessels through which transforming energy can renew the divine image in the world, moving postmoderns from one state of embodiment to another. Did you get that? Because please explain it to me, because I have no idea what he said. Why are they listening to this guy? I mean, come on. What in the world are you talking about? And the church is following him. I actually had to remove a teacher from our radio station because he was having a conference with Leonard Sweet. And I contacted them. He was in Israel at the time, so I talked to the guy next in line. And I said, I'm very concerned that you're having a worship conference and having Leonard Sweet speak at your conference. There's something wrong here. And he said, well, let me talk with the pastor and I'll get back to you. So he did. And he said, you know, it's kind of like we open up our church to for weddings and funerals from other people. So they're just coming in and doing this conference. I said, well, I understand that. But on your webpage with Leonard Sweet, is your pastor speaking at this event? Why is that if you are only allowing them to use this and you're not supporting it? And that was the end of the conversation. And that was the end of him being on our radio station. What's the reason? Why are these people attracted to these false teachers? Well, look at verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. That's what's going on in the church today, trying to minister to people's what? Flesh. Make them feel good about living in sin, using big, fancy, flashy words. But in the end, they're empty because God's word brings life, not man's. How do you catch a fish? By using the right bait. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they get them hooked. They say they're giving liberty, freedom. It's never found in the flesh because Jesus is the only one who could set us free from the bondage of sin that we're in. A perfect example of how something that may look beautiful can be deadly is seen in the Judas tree. Beautiful red flowers, and those red flowers attract bees. The only problem is that the nectar contains an opiate that is deadly to bees. And so as you look at the base of these trees, you find hundreds of bees that have been put to sleep by the beauty of this tree, and in the end, it cost them their lives. Wow, that's a great picture of what's going on in the church today. They've been put to sleep. We need to wake up. We should not be blind to the things that are going on because we have the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. Well, look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. The more you know, the more you're accountable. And I don't think Peter is saying that a person can lose his salvation here, because you got to look at the totality of the scriptures. Well, what's he saying? Well, these are people that knew the truth. They may even said that they embraced Jesus, but you look at their lives and you see something far from it. They were not a Jesus branch, but what I call a Judas branch, a false believer. Matthew 7:23, Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." They were doing all kinds of things for the Lord, but the Lord said, "I never knew you." It's not that I once knew you and you fell away. I never knew you. I never had that relationship with you. And Peter illustrates this for us. It's kind of gross, but a dog who has vomited the corruption that was inside him, but then, because of his nature, sniffing around, goes back to the vomit, eats it up. If you own a dog, you've seen it before. It's kind of nice because you don't have to clean it up, but it's kind of gross also. And then he speaks of a pig. You clean up a pig, you know, you dress him up, he looks real good, and you let him outside. What does he do? He goes back in the mud. Why? Because he's a pig. That's just what his nature is. But we're not like that because we have a new nature in Christ. If anyone is a Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we've seen this condemnation of these false teachers. And I think we as Christians are accountable for taking a stand for the truths of God found in the Word of God. I'll close with this. One writer put it like this very simply. Contemporary Christianity, sadly, contains many people like the ones Peter describes in this passage. They have sought personal improvement and moral reformation in their quest for spiritual and religious experience. Many of them have become teachers, preachers, and self-styled prophets within their professed church. Tragically, like dirty dogs or unclean pigs, they eventually return to their old lifestyles, rejecting the only one who can truly reform them. Those who become spiritual leaders are in reality false teachers, motivated by their own selfish pursuits and sensual desires. In view of their appalling character and damning influence, Peter's warning is clear. Stay away from false teachers and expose them. Believers are to listen to the true apostles and prophets, not the false ones. What a warning we need to take heed to. You know, we've seen over the last few years, especially within the worship community, worship people coming out saying, you know, I'm not against homosexuality anymore, or even denying the faith that they said they once had. And it's because they never had the faith. Well, didn't they write some wonderful worship music? Doesn't matter. Did Judas cast out demons, do miracles? Yeah, he did. Was he saved? No, he wasn't. And many are a Judas branch today. They look real, but they're not. They're fake. Or it's a fake branch. And so we have to do our homework. And I don't tell people don't read any books because you can't trust them. No, read them with an open mind. Be sensitive to them. I don't agree with everything that the pastors on our radio station teach. I don't agree 100% of everything that they bring forth. And they don't agree with everything that I say. But the foundational truths, we're in 100% agreement. And there is no turning from that. There is no compromising from that. These other issues, the gifts of the Spirit and things like that, I will share what I believe. I'm very confident in what I believe. And I will teach it with a passion. The rapture of the church, teach it with a passion. Israel and God drawing them back to himself, 100% confident, and I will teach it that way. Even though some people don't agree, that's okay. But when it comes to Jesus, his blood atonement, his sinless life, all these things, his deity, all these things, he is the only way. No compromise. That's where you have to take a stand. But I encourage you, after I teach, search the scriptures. See if these things be true. See if they be right, because we're all accountable before God. Never forget that. It's a big warning here. Beware of false teachers. Let's pray. Father, a difficult section, because again, we don't want to deal with these issues, but the writers of the New Testament, so many of them had to deal with it. and even name names like Paul did of these false teachers who were coming into the church and bringing in their damning heresies. He exposed them. And I'm not saying we attack the character of a person. We look at the teaching and that's what we stand against if it's false. May we be brave enough and bold enough to take a stand in these days, because there is an attack against the church today and the compromise within the church is tremendous. May it not be so with us, Lord. Help us to take that stand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.